Bibles, if you will, and turn to a passage of Scripture that you probably hadn't heard preached out of in 24 hours. Luke chapter number 15. Good to be at the tabernacle this morning. And good to be among so many preachers. How many of you are preachers? Raise your hand. Amen. I like it when there's a lot of preachers because I love to preach to sinners. Amen. And we'll all confess that the reason why we're here is nobody needs preaching to any more than I do. We help one another. Amen. Appreciate the good meals we've been able to partake of. I tell folks I don't count calories, and I got the figures to prove it. Appreciate Brother Steve. Don't you love it how his family is so involved? I love to go to churches and see the children just pull in behind and be so much a part of it. What a blessing that is. Yesterday, we simply pulled one word from this trilogy of a parable that actually emphasizes one more. Jesus saying to the Pharisees that these sinners are lost. 100 sheep, one's gone. I'll leave the 99 to go get it. 10 pieces of silver, one's gone. She'll sweep until she finds it. And 2 sons, and one's gone. But the father is going to operate until he gets home. We emphasize this matter of kissed. And can I say to you that if the one who is gone gets home, what he's going to need first and foremost is to be loved. Amen. And as has been preached so much in these few days I've been here, the emphasis ought to be on the fact that God has loved us. We have been loved, thank God, on the vertical level as he shed abroad that love in our hearts. But as Brother Stacy was preaching about, when he got amongst the people of God, we became loved on the horizontal level. Amen. But it was the same love. Yeah. It is his love shed abroad in our hearts so that we can love each other for him. And if one more is going to make it home, God wants to love that one more through you and through me. Kissed. But I want to look in verse number 17, and I want to pull out another word. It is the word enough. The word enough. Now I'm thinking about the day the light came on in this old boy. Yes, sir. That's what happened. As I said yesterday, I know that this matter of the new birth is, as far as this text is concerned, is not particularly dealt with, but you can see all the components of a change in his life that was divine. And of course, for us, that was a new birth. A new birth is when the light came on, when you got the revelation of heaven. About heaven, about home, about the Father, about the sacrifice. So much that he let us see, that we rejoice in even to this day. But I give you a little phrase, and then I want to delve into this word enough. This phrase would be this: the Father is gone. I mean, the Son is gone. The Son is gone. So it's up to you and I to leave the light on. A light comes on in him while he's in the far country. But it would have been a sad day for him to have got home and the light had went off at the house. That he had found the roof caving in. The fences had fallen over. The window shades were just about to drop. And everything was tattered and shattered. What a shame. But that's not the case of this one who gets home, because when he gets home, brightly beams our Father's mercy. The light is, thank God, still on. Now I want to say to you, there's not a lot this old father can do about the far country, but he can keep home like it ought to be. And somebody said, but what if my boy don't make it back home? What if my daughter don't make it back home? I'm going to tell you something. If God's given you a light, there'll be somebody heading in your direction. That night, that light needs to be on for the next one, because as long as the church is in this world, there's one more out there. May not be yours, may not be mine, but it's his coming home. And it is you and it is me that are to keep those lower lights burning. Amen, keep on singing. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Keep on praying. Yes, keep on preaching. Amen. Keep on worshiping. Keep on shouting. You say, why? Because there'll be one more headed this way. And they need to find the light on at the house. Now, while the Father is waiting, I want us to look at this word enough. Because it seems as though that what God has done for this boy, he does for us. He does it for sinners. He even does it for his children at different periods of their lives. Is he puts him on a, he thinks now, the son thinks he's going into the far country. That's where he thinks he's going, and that's going to be the end of it, period, done with. But he don't realize is what he's done is he's jumped on God's spinning wheel. And I call it the spinning wheel of enough. He's going to bring him to the place to where he understands what enough is. Now, he did that for you and I when he saved us. He let us know he is enough. That's why we turned from this old world unto him. He satisfied us. But along the journey, it's kind of like an old fella a few months back was testifying along this line. He said, I didn't realize how much that I had taken life for granted. He said the power went off for 3 days at our house because of a storm. And he said, you know how you'll foolishly go flip the switch, knowing there's no power, but it's out of habit. But he said, I quickly realized how much I had not appreciated electricity. The fact that I could take a bath in warm water, the fact that the water pump did work, the fact that the heat, you could heat the house, all the things that comes by power. He said, I couldn't tell you how many times I flipped that switch and then felt stupid because of it. But he said, I'm going to tell you something, even as an old man, the day I went in there and realized the power was on, it was an experience to hit that switch. And look up and say, Ma, look, the light is on. Hallelujah. And isn't it true that along life's journey, even as children of God, we begin to take our wives for granted, we take our husbands for granted, we take our children for granted, we take our jobs for granted, we take our church for granted, we take our preacher for granted, we take everything for granted, and God has to put us on the wheel again to where we can get back. To where there is enough. Now I want us to take this journey, and we're going to come back to this matter of him getting home. and the light is on. You know the parable. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but we will look at verse number 17. Again, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Now, let's just get on this wheel and follow it around till we get him back to the house. When we picked up with the boy in verse number 12, what we'd have to say that he's where nothing's good enough. In other words, he's not satisfied with what he's got. He's not satisfied with where he's at. He's at the best place that he could ever be. But yet, he is very disgruntled and he is very discontent with this place. In other words, it has everything to do with attitude. Can I say to you that when you are at the place where this boy is on the wheel, where nothing's good enough, you're headed to the far country. But the truth of the matter is, the far country's never really that far away. The far country's no more than an attitude. The far country's as close as a choice or a decision in your life. You see, where you're at right now is where you're at. No matter where you're at. In other words, where you are at in spirit, where you are at in heart, where you are at as far as thankfulness is concerned, it's where you're at no matter where you're at. And this old boy is at home, but he's already gone. And it is possible today that you're in the tabernacle. You're sitting at the, I'm going to tell you, Taylorsville Tabernacle, and you're already gone. Amen. You say, "Well, how do I know?" Nothing's good enough. Got no appreciation and thankfulness for the things that God has given you. I'd summarize it simply to say that what happens is the far country will get in you long before you ever get in to the far country. Amen. It's already in his head, it's in his heart, it's in his hands. He's already gone because nothing's good enough.
Amen.
May our hearts appreciate where we are right now and what we have right now. And may we say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." Are you thankful for that wife? Are you thankful for that husband? Have you been refreshed this week to be thankful for your church and to be thankful for your preacher and to be thankful for their families and to be thankful for your home and to be thankful for your job? That'll keep you off the wheel. He's on the wheel. He just said, "Well, you can just watch his attitude and his actions. Ain't nothing good enough. Nothing good enough." I've preached to people like that. They wouldn't know. You couldn't sing a song that's going to please them. You couldn't preach a sermon that's going to help them. You could take them up an offer and it wouldn't be enough. You know why? They're in the far country. They're wearing a tie, they're looking good and dressed up and singing in the choir, but they're in the far country. And God's spinning him around on that wheel. The second thing I would point out to you is found also in verse number 12. It's when he comes to his father with this matter of entitlement. This matter of entitlement. He comes demanding of the father. You notice he's the one doing all the talking. "Give me," he said. Sounds like America, doesn't it? It's what's being propagated from Washington so they can get a vote. Hey, y'all come ask us. We'll give to you. Give me. I say to you now, he has moved, and it is the second step of which he has to go to. He's went from nothing's good enough to now he can't get enough.
Amen.
Everything he is came from his Father, his very body, his very being. The very bed he slept in, the very food that he has eaten, but it ain't enough. The horse leech said, give me, give me, give me. Honey, you're headed to the far country when you're at the point of which you feel as though you deserve more than what you got.
Amen.
I deserve better than this.
Yeah, reach to it.
Are you getting what I'm saying? He can't get enough. Give me, demanding, ordering his Father. He's on that wheel. I'll just let it sink in a minute. It won't hurt you. Nothing's good enough, and now he can't get enough. And then I notice that immediately, verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Turkey's journey into the far country, and in essence began to live it up. Now, he thinks he's got it all together now because the Bible said he got it all together. The poor soul is very blinded in that he has moved from the place to where nothing's good enough to where he can't get enough to where now he thinks that he himself is enough. He does not need the Father anymore. He does not need the Father's house anymore. He does not need the provisions and, I'm going to tell you, the passions and the love of the Father. He's done with all of that. He's in the far country now, and he can do it all by himself. He's got the personality. He's got the provisions. He doesn't even know what he's going to face tomorrow in that world. He doesn't know what's coming his way. He just thinks that he's sufficient for whatever it is. He thinks he's enough. I have been blessed to notice all of these teenagers. How many teenagers, raise your hand, are here? Look at those hands. But now, we who were one-time teenagers want to share with you that we have all been on this wheel at this point to where we fancied that we could do it and that we were sufficient. And we were enough. But that is a lie of the devil. Jesus said, without me, what? You can do nothing. You never want to get to the place. I had a young man tell me just recently, he said, preacher, I'm so nervous, I'm almost sick when I get up to preach. I said, son, you'll never get over that. That didn't encourage him. A preacher never wants to come to the place to where he thinks he's got it when he gets up here. That he can do it. We need to embrace and love the feeling of insufficiency within ourselves because then we know we must cast ourselves upon the Lord. He thinks he's enough. Oh, what I say to you is, what a place to be in. I'm telling you to think that you can do it. Man, can you see him just living it up? I mean, he thinks there's no end to that money. He can buy, and I tell you, he can purchase, and he can spend, and I mean, he's got it, and he's got it all, and he's got it all together. He just doesn't know he's on the wheel. It ain't going to stop right there.
Yes, sir.
He's on the wheel of enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's gone from nothing's good enough till I can't get enough to where he thinks he is enough. Now march with me down through here. Look at the next verse. I said he's on the wheel and God's doing the spinning. Verse number 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. See, what he didn't realize was there was somebody in that land that was in the Father's land. You say, who was it? God. And while he's there to live it up, God's there to bring him down. So what is happening is nothing's good enough. He can't get enough. He thinks that he is enough. And then God comes in and begins to make things low enough and bad enough. You say, how cruel is it for God to wait for him to get broke and then turn the water off? Well, that's what happens when you get on that wheel. Anywhere in the Bible, you can search it out. I think it's true all the way through. That you find a measure of God's judgment, you're going to find a measure of God's grace.
Amen.
And you say, what's God doing turning the water off? That's his judgment because he's trying to get him out of town. That's his grace. He'll bring you down so he can bring you out. He's got to make things low enough so they'll get bad enough. Turn the water off! Ah, there was a flood of judgment that came in the book of Genesis there that destroyed the whole earth. What a judgment it was. But the Bible said at the very same time, Noah found grace. That was judgment poured out on the cross. But thank God you and I got grace out of it. Israel was judged and the gospel was turned to the Gentiles. That was grace. Aren't you glad you got grace when you're so close to judgment? I mean grace when judgment was all around you. That's the marvel you got out. When he gets back home, he's going to cry out and say, my God, I don't even know how I got out of there. I mean, it was bad everywhere. It was bad on me. It was bad in me. It was a bad around me. But I found that God. The wheel's turning. Things ain't good enough. He can't get enough. He thinks he is enough. And then God moves in, makes things bad enough and low enough. Until we come to verse number 17, that's where it was coming anyway. God has to work this wheel.
Amen.
There's no way you could do this. I'm going to tell you, there's one out there that you know. There's one out there that I know. And it may be a family member, whatever, somebody you know. But there ain't no way you can get them out of there. You can't push them out. You can't pull them out. You sure can't pay them out. You can't even preach them out. But oh, there's a God in that country that's able, I'm going to tell you, to get them out when he puts them on the wheel and gets that turning. And while you can't push them and pull them and you can't preach them, you can pray them out.
Amen.
Because what has happened now, he's moved on the wheel. Nothing's good enough. He can't get enough. Thinks he is enough. Things get bad enough. And things get low enough until he's had enough.
Amen.
God putting you on the well to where you look around and everything's there and you say, I'm sick and tired of every bit of this. I'm tired of the hogs. I'm tired of the friends. I'm tired of this world. I've had enough. It's amazing. I have you to understand that there was nothing in that world that would remind him of home. There was no maps down there that even had home on it. There were no road signs and street signs. They didn't teach it in school. And if it went to a psychologist, he wouldn't have mentioned it. There ain't nothing of this world geared to even remind you you've got a father. They're trying to convince us they ain't another country. They ain't a heavenly father. They're not a lamb up there being sacrificed for. They tell us ain't none of that so. This world has went silent on God. But isn't it amazing how God can spin the wheel and turn everything around to where everything that didn't say anything says something? I mean, that world got to talking to him. That famine, when that wind was whistling across that dry land, was whistling to him saying, go home. He said, what? Who's talking? Them friends said he sought them out and no man gave to him. You can see him going to his buddies that had been feeding out of his pocket and said, man, I tell you, I mean, we had some great times together, didn't we? Remember all them times? Listen, I'm a little hungry. I wonder if you could loan me a little bit or get me some food. And the friends looked at him. They, no man gave to him. They looked at him and said, buddy, you ain't even from around here. Where are you from anyway? You go back to your own family. Go home! When this old world gets to telling you to go home, honey, something's fixing to change. Go home! Go home! That's what this world's saying right now from Washington. Would you, saints, go home? The hunger pains in his stomach, he can hear them. They're groaning on the inside saying, boy, you wasn't this hungry. Go home. And the hogs were a grunting and a growling down there. And there is a saying in hog language, go home.
Well, glory. Wow. Oh, that's good. Hallelujah.
That's when he got his revelation. That's when the light came on. Everything pointed toward the house. As far as that world is concerned. I was preaching up in Kentucky. Fella stood up and he said, I used to have a business right here in town. But he said it was a front. All I did was sell drugs. He said, I got miserable. He said, I couldn't get nothing out of the drugs, couldn't get satisfied with alcohol, nothing. I was a miserable creature. He said, I drove by my mama's house one day and said, she is a Christian, I knew that. And said, I just stopped in and said, I just started telling her, Mom, I don't know what's wrong with me. He said, I'm just down and out. And said, I'm miserable, I'm depressed. And said, she just spun around and said, you're under conviction, son. He said, that's the last thing I wanted to hear. Said, I ran out of there. Said, on Monday morning, I opened up my place of business. Said, the first person that came in was my number one drug dealer. Said, I sold him more drugs than anybody. Said, we started talking. He said, man, you look bad. What's wrong? You sick? Said, I don't know why I told him. Said, I don't know. Said, I've been depressed. And said, I ain't even been smoking no weed. I'm just, nothing's helping me. And I ain't been to none of the parties. Said, what do you think's wrong? Said, I don't know. Said, my mama told me God was dealing with me. Said, that old drug dealer stood back and his eyes got big and said, oh, if he's dealing with you, you better do something about that. He said, I figured if my number one drug dealer told me I ought to get right with God, I probably ought to get right with God. And I got out of there and got right with God. I'm glad when this old world that doesn't want to say it, everything it says is home. The Father's house. The light's on. Nothing wasn't good enough. He couldn't get enough. He thought he was enough. God made it bad enough till it got low enough. He'd had enough. Yes, sir. You say, well, how in the world do you know that he was done with that far country? Two things. One, by what he said. Did you notice when the prodigal son left home, God, the father didn't say nothing? And when he got back, the father didn't say nothing? He'll make you do all the talking. Ain't no need to talk to him when he leaves home. He ain't listening. And ain't no need to say nothing when he gets back home. Everything's settled. The light's on. The talking has been done in the far country. By the time they get to the altar, all you got to do is let them call on God. And I tell folks, I say, you'll know when your son or your daughter's right with God, they'll come home preaching. You won't have to preach to them. They'll run you down and preach to you. Amen, buddy. He come home. You know he's done by what he's saying. Listen to him. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against heaven. I'm so raunchy and low down, I don't even deserve to be. Don't that sound like an old sinner falling? You don't need to say nothing to him. God's got so many ways of talking. But not only about what he says, it's what he sees. Now, he's sitting there and he gets a visitor. Did you notice that the prodigal son had a visitor? Said he came to himself. Didn't he? You see, your wife can try to tell you something to make you mad. Brother Charles asked me to let Esther preach Sunday night. I said, I will, but I'm not going to be there. He said, why? I said, I've heard her preach. Now I'm in for it, I'll tell you that. Your husband can try to tell you something, make you mad. The preacher can preach something to you and make you mad. But I'm going to tell you something. If you ever get to talking to yourself, business is fixing to pick up. I mean, the light is on. He comes to himself. Now, you can see the prodigal son talking to the prodigal son. He said, man, you stink. Where you been? You got any of your money left? You ain't had nothing to eat. You ain't been running around with them women spending all that money. I'll tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd get up out of there, and first thing I'd do is I'd tell God I'm sorry. And you'd head back home and tell Dad that you're sorry. And he's sitting there talking, and he looks up, and his tears is flowing down. He said, I was thinking the same thing. I don't know how long he was in the far country, but I assure you, forever how long it was, I don't think he ever looked toward home. He left there to never go back. But I'm going to tell you what happened to him. Same thing happened to every sinner. He's sitting there, and the light came on. He said, my heavens. My father's got more than enough. And he began to see the intricate details. He said, man, I've seen my servants eat more than what I'm eating. I'm thinking about that bad. Now listen, understand. What he sees in this revelation when the light comes on, What he is seeing, he has seen many times, but he never saw it. He'd seen that bed. He'd seen them servants. He'd been all around that table. He'd seen, but he never saw it. Why? The light wasn't on. It's possible to be in this meeting. The light ain't on. It's possible to have a good wife and the light ain't on. It's possible to have a good wife. The light ain't on. But honey, when the light comes on, it's over. He said, I'm going back where there's more than enough. In other words, all he was doing with this boy is the same thing he does for you and me. He's trying to get us to where he's enough. He's enough. And isn't he more than enough? Not just joy. Joy unspeakable. Not just peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. Not just love. Love beyond knowledge. If you go back in that text, and I close with this, what he does, he takes this boy to school and teaches him math. Have you seen that? You know what the four principles of math are, don't you? Somebody tell me one. Addition, subtraction. All right. Did you find him in that text there? Look in verse 12. He divided unto him his living. He said, Daddy, I want to live in division. I like division. Boy, that's been so since Adam. We've taken what belonged to God and divided on him, run out with it. Then you look down in verse number 12, the Bible said he wasted his substance on riotous living when he had spent all. Now what's that? Did you know God can subtract more than you can divide? Did you notice the next principle in there after the subtraction took place? What human nature is going to do is try to fill the boy. And the Bible said he went and joined himself. If you join two things together, what have you done? Man, this boy knows his math. I'll tell you that right now. He's added. If we want to fill that void, begin to add. But honey, nothing you can put in will add up to what God takes away. If he takes away your peace and takes away your joy, you can't find nothing that'll put it back. He's gone through this matter of, I tell you, division and subtraction and addition. And finally, he comes to that last principle. He said, and how many? Well, that's multiplication. He said, my God, why have I been living in division and subtraction and addition? When I get back to Father's house, there's more than enough, and I can live in multiplication. God's been multiplying on me. Times, 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 times. Don't get your pencil out and lick it. You won't be able to figure it out. But here's what I want you to know. I don't know if that'll be your son or daughter that will come around the wheel and make it back home. But some sinner will. The light's going to be on. And the most important thing that you can do is make sure when they get back that the only thing that's changed around the house is them. Amen. The Father's lights are brightly burning. Just keep singing. He'll be here after a while. God's got him on the wheel. Give him time. Just keep praying. There'll be one. I promise you, preachers at your church, don't go looking for crowds. Everybody's looking for crowds. I done said he saves One at a time, as Brother Doug said, one at a time. You just look for the one. God will turn that light on. Here he's coming. I don't know. I don't think he ever looked toward home until the light came on. He said, I'm going back. He had to turn. And the first thing he's looking for was the light. You say, well, I don't think he could see the light from there. I did. You say, well, but he don't have a map. How's he going to find his way home, honey? If you're headed back and the light's on, you don't need a map. Holy Ghost will take you right to that front porch.
He will. Yes, sir.
Did I tell you nothing wasn't good enough? He couldn't get enough. He thought he was enough. God made it bad enough and low enough till he'd had enough and found out that the Father was enough. I heard about a little boy and girl, courting, went to the state fair. And I had some water somewhere, right there. And they got down there and spent all their money. She wanted cotton candy. They had just enough to either buy the cotton candy or to ride the merry-go-round. He never had rode it. He wanted to ride the merry-go-round. And he won out. Just enough money for him to ride the merry-go-round. No cotton candy, she couldn't ride. So he got on that thing, and you know how the merry-go-rounds are. They just go round and round and round and round. Stopped and he got off. She's mad. She said, look at there. You done went and spent all our money, and you still ain't went nowhere. It may look like things are not going anywhere, but God's got a wheel. And this old boy thinks he's going to the far country, but God's got him on the spinning wheel. Aren't you glad he had you on that wheel?
Jordan, you come around. Is this yours?
No, somebody give it to that offer.
Okay. Got you. What preaching? Has the light come on? He came to that point where he'd had enough. I remember when the light come on. Just stand. Some of us may think we can handle it. We're enough. You can't handle that congregation. Speaking to your heart. Are you at the place where you've had enough? This world ain't got the answer. Don't you appreciate that preaching this morning?